I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Presented by EMP. Want to do weight loss structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP. Want to do weight loss.com. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Alan May is going to join us from the Kettler Iceplex, where the Capitals practice. We'll talk to the Caps insider at 8:20 about this Caps Lightning series. 9 o'clock, Mike Rizzo, as we go in the clubhouse with the Nats GM. Right now, though, we'll open up the entertainment page with EB.
What do you got there, Valdez?
Who just learned Kevin Klein's married to Phoebe Cates.
Yes. News bulletin. Let me check the date of their wedding.
You guys all knew that?
Yes. I knew that.
I'm not. Yeah. I didn't think they got married last week. I didn't know they got married 50 years ago. Who knows?
Why do you sleep on a fish called Wanda, EB? A new release from Kevin Klein.
When was the last time Kevin Klein was in a relevant movie?
Or Dave? Dave's kind of underrated. Now, these movies are all but old. A Fish Called Wanda might be 30 years old. Yeah, I can't remember a recent release featuring Kevin Klein.
He did one with Ashton Kutcher. I always forget the name of the movie where they're basically... Is that Friends with Benefits?
I don't know.
There were two movies that were very similar. Friends with Benefits, and there was another one, and Ashton Kutcher's in one of them.
He was in Las Vegas a couple years ago.
Oh, with all the old dogs went out. Like, yeah. Morgan Freeman, Kevin Klein... Can't remember the other two.
All right, I don't know. For some reason, I stumbled onto this list of like some famous actors and actresses and how much they're making for current movies. I'll just go through. I'll give you the actor, and you guys can guess.
Ooh, I like this game.
So just what they're making for the
silly guessing game
for the role. Okay.
Yes. All right. So Seth Rogen is set to play in next year's Flarsky. I have no idea what that is.
Couldn't tell you.
Okay, it doesn't matter. How much is Seth Rogen
Flarsky?
Pulling in? Flarsky.
I mean, I don't know anything about
Starsky,
the movie.
Flarsky.
Is it like $15 million?
Is it a big budget
you
movie?
You nailed it. $15 million.
Wow.
$15 million for Seth Rogen. Day, huh?
By the way, not that anybody cares, the movie that Kevin Klein's in with Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman is not Friends with Benefits. It's No Strings Attached.
Oh, okay. I think, though. I don't care. I do like Natalie Portman.
I think Friends with Benefits is Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis.
I'll have to take your word for it. I'll never see either of those movies.
All right, Leo DiCaprio. Now, this is for a 2019 movie called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's hard because you don't have any context. You don't know if it's a big budget film or not.
$25
million. $22.5
million. $10 million. $10 million for Leo for Once Upon a Time. No. All right, Tom Hardy. Venom. Did that one already come out?
No, it was out in October.
Venom.
That one he's going to make $20 million.
$7 million.
Wow.
Some of these are lower than you might think. Minions. That one already came out, right?
Minions has been out, I believe.
Now, this is just doing a voice.
Sandra Bullock.
I'm going to guess for Minions, she made $6.5 million.
$1 million.
Jason?
She's a cartoon. She's an animated Minions character in this movie.
Does
she even have, like, if I heard
Sandra Bullock? I'd say four.
If I heard her voice right now, would I know that's Sandra Bullock?
Yeah, I think you would.
I would?
You might be able to pick it out.
Play two voices. One of them Sandra Bullock and one like Jennifer Lawrence. Like, I don't even know if I would know the difference.
I think you would.
$10 million.
Wow.
Man.
Telly, those animated movies. If you get on that gravy train, ever. You should never hop off. All you should do is call your agent and say, when is Minions 6 coming out? Because I'm ready to voice it.
I've heard of Emily Blunt. I don't know anything she's ever done.
Emily Blunt. She's in A Quiet Place with, is it John Krasinski?
She's married to John Krasinski.
I always call him Jim.
I don't know
Jim
who that guy is either. Jungle Cruise. The movie is out in 2019.
Okay, that's a Disney big budget silly.
Okay, how much did Emily Blunt pull in for that?
I'm going to say $12.5 million.
I've already forgotten.
Her quote's got to be up pretty high.
They say
she's
between 8 and 10 million.
It's a pretty big star.
Ryan Gosling for First Man.
I don't know anything about the title. Ryan Gosling's got to be
First Man. Seems like you're
probably 10 million.
Your wife is the president, right? You're the first man.
Is that going to be a comedy?
Instead of the first lady?
I mean,
it's a good guess. Maybe I like to guess.
Maybe that's a great guess. I don't know.
I think the movie already came out. We don't even know what it's about. 6.5 million. All right. Jennifer Lawrence.
No, it doesn't come out until October.
Okay. Jennifer Lawrence for Red Sparrow.
Actually, and by the way, it's not about the man in the White House.
That's a great guess.
Terrible guess.
No,
it's about Neil
guess.
Armstrong.
First man on the moon. All right. Whatever. You were there.
Shot close. In the dark.
Jennifer Lawrence. Red Sparrow. How much, Cakes?
She made $24 million.
No, that's way too high. I'm going to say $7
million. $15
million. Whoa! Right in the middle.
Hey, and you should see Red Sparrow. You'd like it.
I'll see it. I don't know where, though. It's not. It's. I only see movies
in theaters.
I'll tell you
where you won't see it. In theaters at this point.
I don't need. Netflix is a pain in the ass.
Do it on demand.
Yeah, Netflix is a pain in the ass.
You have to press a button
on your phone. Boom, it's there.
It is.
I'm not going to watch a movie on my phone.
No, Ricky. No. You cast it to your TV. I mean, could you?
I do that sometimes for
certain things.
You have a smart TV? With Netflix?
I have Apple TV.
Apple.
It's a different input. It requires getting up. I have to get up.
You get up and search.
You have to get up?
I've lost the TV remote.
No.
So I have to get up to change the
input. Have you replaced your TV in your bedroom yet?
No, I got to do that. I should do that today.
This is a Travis Ham mockery.
You talked about replacing your TV in your basement for over a year.
Years.
Yes. Before you fucking
years.
You know what I did? I did it.
All right. Are you challenging me?
I'll tell you what would happen. If I had a TV in my bedroom and it went out, you know when it would be replaced? The next day.
I know. You use yours all the time.
I would go out to Best Buy and
I would
walk down the aisle and I'd say, it's a 55-inch silly. And I'd slam it in the back of my car and that TV would be in my bedroom.
I did that once and I did it the day. In fact, it was at night. Mm-hmm. My TV went out at 6 o'clock around dinner time. I went out to Best Buy
by
at 8, 7.
By 8 p.m., yeah.
Are you still making payments on it?
Probably. $20 a month, no interest.
I went into Micro Center like 2 years ago. I wasn't even planning on buying a TV. I just walked by it. I said,
that's a silly.
That's a pretty good price.
By the way.
And that's an upgrade on what I have. I'm buying it.
It wasn't but 10 minutes ago, maybe 25 minutes ago during a commercial break where Jason was just looking at his computer. He goes, I have no money.
I've got no money. I'd like to go
through a big financial shell game.
I'd like to go through all my bills, and you'd be flabbergasted. I got no money.
What are you doing there? What kind of operation?
This is more entertaining than what Leo DiCaprio is making.
Beach house hoard me. I got all of this other stuff going on. It's just I've got no cash.
You might need other stuff.
You might need
just very nebulous.
It's personal. It's private. I'm not going to go through.
Is it a financial disaster?
It's not a disaster, but I should be saving more than I am.
I wish it was a disaster.
I know you
that
do.
Would please me.
You want me to go in the poorhouse?
It would please me.
I have two words
for
you.
Way, it's not great.
Extra appearances.
Haven't been offered an appearance in a long time.
No one cares about the junk's
extra.
Appearances.
Give me one.
No one cares about the junk's
appearances. Hey, you need to
anymore.
Become the blackjack ambassador for MGM National Harbor. Get on that.
We just do the big sillies. Like we were at the Final Four.
Yep.
That's probably the last appearance we did. The big sillies.
I don't remember. I didn't do that one.
Yeah, you didn't.
I think I was out on that one. All right, let me see. What else do we have out there? Jane Fonda, apparently, she's doing some interviews. What, does she have a book out? What does she have?
She has a movie coming out called The Book Club.
I'm sure I keep up with Jane Fonda.
Sleep on Grace and Frankie, or Frankie and Grace,
yeah,
whatever it's
I
called.
Do. This is me. Sleep on it.
She's got a new movie out, as JP mentioned. It's called Book Club. Also stars some sillies, Diane Keaton, Mary Steenburgen, and Candace Bergen.
They're old bags who start a book club and they have to do 50 Shades of Gray and then it's sex.
Oh, that sounds horrible. I wouldn't see
bunch
that
of
80 year old
chicks hitting the skins.
Oh. Kevin interviewed her last
time. Drabby would like
I know. Well, the big news she
said. Drabby's me first in line. She's on opening Fandango right now.
She's pulled a bish, right?
She says she's 80. And I've closed up shop down there. She's shutting it down.
What's that? She closed up shop.
She says that's her quote. She was dating a guy last year for 8 years.
She should have closed up shop 20 years ago.
Why?
You don't know who her love interest is.
Ted Turner used to crush it.
Huh?
Yeah.
Who is her love interest in book club?
Well, it's got to be an old codger.
Old codger, except younger man in that movie.
So he's younger than Jane Fonda, who I believe is 80.
He's a guy who was, in his heyday, was like a silly ladies' man.
Don't say
TV show.
Don't say Burt Reynolds.
TV show in the 80s that we all watched.
Oh, I know who it is. 100% I know who it is. Hold on. He's dreamy.
Hold on. Is it Sam? Is it Ted Danson?
No.
Oh,
I would bet.
Good guess.
I almost would be willing to
bet. You just said 100%.
A chunk of my 401k, but I won't do that because I made stupid outlandish bets on the show before. It's Tom Selleck.
I'm convinced. Don Johnson, same era.
Damn it. But I was close. I mean, imagine P.I., dreamy, big mustache, lived in Hawaii, flew around in a helicopter. That's all I know.
Because he's in that Magna awkward PI. Stage now where, you know, he was like the ladies' man for a long time, but now he's got to play the old guy.
Yeah, but.
So he could, but he's the old guy, younger man on that.
I was so convinced it was like an 8-year-old. Tom Selleck.
Some of those old guys, though, they still age well.
Yeah, I'm sure he looks good.
Don Johnson's daughter, bald.
You love Dakota Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
That was from 50 Shades, right? Wasn't she in that?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes, she correct. Was. She was also in The Social Network, and Justin Timberlake was taxing
it. Was he smashing?
Just crushing
Lucky
it.
Him.
Don't you even remember that?
Because I remember things.
I think
he's like Mr. Skin. He's remembered Phoebe Cates.
Yeah.
You have a Mr. Skin.
Into my brain.
Do you have Mr. Skin password saved?
No,
your...
I don't. I wish I did. Somebody call Mr. Skin. Get us an updated password,
please. We get a lifetime pass.
We should get a lifetime pass.
We have that.
We do?
Yeah.
We don't.
I can
Maybe
find it.
You do.
I could find it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the exact point in the movie where she gets naked, and she was not naked in the Social Network.
What's the one that you have?
Bang I have Brothers? A Bang Bros.
Yeah, that's hardcore.
When do they have the new releases?
Today. Today's a big release day, Wednesday.
Every Wednesday?
Big release day, if you know what I mean.
Whip about Wednesday.
Did he give you the story? Because I sent it last night of the top 10 websites that people search. Like, Google's number one, right? And I think Facebook's number two. But there were three or four porn sites. Boom. It was like Google, Facebook, X Videos.
Really? Well, Pornhub's not the biggest?
X Videos was ranked higher than Pornhub.
Really?
Yeah. Pornhub was second.
So it's X Videos, Pornhub.
And then there's the other one was like XNXX or something.
Yeah, I know that one. All right, what's the other one? What's
I think X Hamster.
X Hamster. That's a big one.
What about Eskimo Cube? That cube is much better. All right, what about Eskimo Cube?
God, I miss that kid.
Can we book Larry? We're starting to get into the doldrums. Can we book Larry?
After the caps
are eliminated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do a Larry and Bruce special.
We've done that before.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
All right, well, coming up next, Alan May is going to join us. You can actually watch on TV.
Can we ask
NBC
Alan
Sports
May
Washington.
The same question that you asked us?
Sure.
All right.
What was the question? I already forgot.
About the cap season.
Oh, yeah, is it a success? Yeah. He'll be all hard and be
you
like,
think?
No.
He'll be negative?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think he's old school.
All right, Alan May joins us as we talk Caps Lightning next on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan, live on NBC Sports Washington. Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, is going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. They're playing great baseball of late. Where are they in the standings right now?
Game and a half back. I'm guessing third place behind Atlanta and Philly.
There you go. Right back in it. Remember, they were like 6 back not too far ago.
Yeah, they won 9 to 10. Not bad.
All right, we're going to be joined by Alan May, who covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington. He's at the Kettler Iceplex.
Alan, you there, buddy?
I am. Hey, guys, how you doing?
I hear the bony back there. Is that a bony behind you?
Yeah, that's the Zamboni.
I think that's what it is. It's something out on the ice.
Looking good, pal. Hey, so here's the question we were kicking around, and I think you're like old school. I don't want to bias it, but I think I already know your answer.
Don't lead the witness.
All right, all right. But if the season ended today, let's just say they end up losing this series. Was this a successful season for the Caps or not?
Every player wants to win the Stanley Cup. Everyone wants to get to the finals, and it's so tough to get there. I could say it's a success in some areas because you got, you know, past all of that past noise,
right,
that you have. The social media noise makes it even worse. But ultimately, every player wants to win the Stanley Cup. I think as a franchise, getting over that hurdle, though, that is a success. But there's nothing like getting the hardware, getting your name on the cup. That's what every player wants. It's going to hurt if and when they don't get it. If they win it, it's going to be the best feeling they've ever had as a professional athlete. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. It's easy to say it wouldn't be a success, but still, it's a major accomplishment to get this far. You're going to be down to the top four teams in the National Hockey League. It matters most right now. They want to go further, but it's a lot easier if it didn't work out from here to not be content, but there's still a lot of positive feelings. Everything else just is pain.
Al, right, I'm with you.
Has this team surprised you this year?
Well, it surprised me in the fact that they were able to come together and finally get a group of players to stick to their roles and know who they were. We didn't have all the stuff in the past. You didn't have third liners and fourth liners thinking they should be on the first line. They all want to get there, but everyone here, there's a lot of tough love shown by Barry Trotz this year, scratching rookies that, you know, necessarily weren't playing the right way. And, you know, that's like all the little details of the game. When you look at the defensemen, you know, they went with two rookies for most of the year, not necessarily by design. But what I do like about this team and how they did surprise me is they came together at the right time. They started to adapt. They started to improvise. They started to play different ways. In the past, we saw the exact same game plan every single game through the season, through the playoffs. And that's a little bit broad and a little bit general, but I didn't see enough change. Here in the playoffs, I've seen them adapt to what other teams are doing, improvise on the fly, get creative where they needed to, and commit more physically, I think mentally and emotionally, than they ever have had. And our guys are getting older here. Ovechkin, Backstrom, you look at the leaders, they're getting older. They're not supposed to be getting better. Ovi played better this year. They're supposed to be in decline, but I love the mix of youth, the throwaway players, Chiasson, Connolly, Devontae Smith-Pelly. They really stepped up to another level. And then I think Barry Trotz is a coach, best season he's ever had, because he did a lot of things that he hadn't done in the past. I think in the playoffs, we're talking about Braden Holtby. We're talking about the Kuznetsov goal, Ovechkin. But Barry Trotz has gone to another level in these playoffs, and maybe it's because he doesn't have a contract. He's thinking, what do I got to lose? I just got to go for it now.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that. That's exactly what I was going to ask you. Why are they lame ducking Barry like this? The only assumption is that it's already decided. He's gone short of winning a cup. That's all I can come up with, because you don't let a coach like this lame duck into the playoffs like this.
Why? What has he got, like 205 wins as the coach here in four seasons? And forget about that. Players have to play out contracts. Why should a coach be any different? And I love Barry. I think he's an incredible human being. But it's the same thing here. There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of contracts at stake for different players. And ultimately, you got to get to the finals. And you got to win a Stanley Cup. And this team has had so many good rosters with him as the coach. And they've been given big bumps at the trade deadline every year. But right now, I think this is the Barry that you wanted the last few seasons in the playoffs. Not afraid to mix the lines up. Hell, look at the other night, putting Nathan Walker and Travis Boyd in the lineup and then playing Boyd on the third line and having a rookie on every line. Barry Trotz wouldn't have done that in the past. So right now, no matter what happens, he's earning himself more money and a bigger contract, whether it's here or whether it's elsewhere. But I like kind of being the frying pan and the fire mentality of Brian McClellan. I love what Barry Trotz is doing. I think right now they've been a very good team. We're not on the inside of this every day. but it's all about winning. It's all about results. This team has exceeded expectations this year. A lot of people thought it was in teardown mode after losing seven regulars, but they've gone on and they've done different things. I like the fact that it's a younger team competing for the Stanley Cup and hungrier players. You got the throwaway players. You got the aging stars that rose to another level this year and have really been battled and battled hard in the playoffs. I love that Braden Holtby's faced so much adversity this year, and he's rising above the fray, and he's given this team such incredible goaltending right now.
Talking to Alan May from NBC Sports Washington as we talk about Caps Lightning. He's at Kettler Capital's Iceplex. I wanted to ask you about Holtby because we don't have the trained eye that you have. As a former pro, what are you seeing that he's doing different than he did when he was struggling during the regular season and they went through that whole reset button and reset with Braden Holtby? What is he doing differently that he's now being successful?
Well, I think we've had six awesome years out of Braden Holtby, and you know, it's all of a sudden 6 weeks were kind of defining his career, and I thought that was unfair. I think what he's doing right now is when he came into the league as a younger goaltender, he was always trying to prove himself, and I think he was mentally and emotionally fatigued. That took a toll on him physically during February and part of March. You know, he goes on a mental health vacation. He goes to a little bit of goaltending school, but what he's doing right now, I think when the brain and the body are in line, that's always when you're best as an athlete, really any part of life. You know, that's all where it needs to be. You're going to be another level. But right now, because he's feeling so good about himself, his confidence is there. He's not questioning his technique when he comes out. I think his reflexes are faster than he's ever been. When you look at a lot of these saves, you see how flat his pads are on the ice, and his five hole is sealed. But I really like the way he's tracking pucks right now. When he went in game two in the Columbus series in that third period, Grubauer looked really small to me, and Columbus was torching him up top. And then in game two in the Columbus series in that third period, Grubauer looked really small to me, and Columbus was torching him up top. And then Holtby went in, and from my vantage point between the benches, Holtby looked 10 feet tall, 8 feet wide in net. There were no holes. And I think in these playoffs, I honestly believe there's only been one questionable goal, and there were four mistakes before that goal happened. It was the Jake Guentzel goal in game one of the playoffs. And other than that, and that was still a deflection, I think he's been battling. I think his team has, when he has had a high danger scoring opportunity against, down close, under the hash marks, in the money zone, he's come up big. He's stolen so many saves, and he's just given his team an incredible backbone and so much confidence going forward here. They've weathered the storm when they've had tough periods, and they've rewarded him with better play outside of a bad period every single time. And I don't know what they're doing when they go in the dressing room, but they're coming out fired up after a bad period.
Alan, can you really give the nod to either team in the goalie matchup? You look at Holtby's and Vasilevskiy's numbers. They each have won 8 games. Vasilevskiy's dropped 2. Holtby's lost 3. Their save percentage is almost identical. The goals against a little higher for Vasilevskiy. Who do you give the nod to in the matchup between the two?
Well, they're both phenomenal goaltenders, and right now, I think that Braden Holtby's had to come into these playoffs, and there's been a lot more pressure on him, so I'm going to give the nod to him, and that's not being a homer. You look at how Tampa Bay, they were basically the best team in the league during the regular season from start to finish, and they haven't had the pressure. They've had the goal scoring all season long, and they haven't had the ups and downs like the Capitals have. They didn't have to strip down and tear down their team like the Caps did. You know, they had to reward new contracts, so I think right now, the way Holtby's playing, this is the best technique I've ever seen him play, the more confidence. I've been watching all the Tampa Bay games, and there are holes in both of these guys, if you can figure it out as another team. And with Vasilevskiy, they're going to go after him. I think there's more pressure on them because pretty much everyone in North America, all the hockey pundits, have Tampa Bay winning this series, and it sounds like a lot of them think it's going to be easy. But right now, you let in a bad goal there, and then everyone's going to be questioning him, and as much as players say they don't watch the news and they don't have social media accounts, they all do. They all lie about that. And I think the pressure is on Vasilevskiy in these playoffs.
Alan, what scares you about Tampa? Why are they so good? We hear that they're faster than Pittsburgh. Are they faster than we are? And if they are, how do we match that?
They are faster than the Capitals, and that's all right, because so is Pittsburgh. And you look at how dangerous their top guys are. They've got a lot of very, very good goal scorers. There's a guy named Adam Killorn that plays on the third line that's deadly. Andre Palat. Braden Point has become the best new two-way center, young player in the league, and they have a lot of players there. The best defenseman in the National Hockey League that's a left-handed shot, Victor Hedman, 6'7", great skater, probably the best stick in the league for poke checks, sweep checks, just getting in your way. He's always in your way, but they are a faster team. So once again, what the Capitals have to do in this playoff series, they've got to be committed to defense, and you've said that a lot in the past, but what they were able to do, some of those ugly games that we saw in Pittsburgh and Columbus on the road where people were questioning the Caps, even the last game I saw people dogging them. They were dogging Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, but they were patient. They got their sticks in the way, and I think it has to be five men in the middle of the ice, sticks on the ice, being frustrating to play against, making players look bad by stealing passes, getting in the way of every shot. So once again, the Capitals have to be more about how good they are defensively. We've never said that about this group. It was always about how they could annihilate you at the offense. They've still got the guys that can put the puck in the net, but the big thing right now is a five-man defense. Check the puck, not check the man necessarily. The puck is what scores, and you've got to keep an eye on that at all times and always know where the killers are. Kucherov, where Stamkos is, you've got to keep an eye on those guys. Braden Point can sneak behind the defense. So if you play a five-man wall, it's not pretty, it's ugly, but the Caps are taking victories right now, small victories in getting those poke checks, those stick checks, just getting in the way. That overtime goal the other night by Kuznetsov, yep. I think Ovi had three takeaways. They weren't on the stat sheet, but he had takeaways. He was getting in the way, and ultimately the poke checks led to that breakaway goal for Kuznetsov.
Alan, what's the latest with Backe, and then what about Burakovsky? Will he come back?
I can't see Burakovsky coming back with a surgery, and after being through hand surgeries myself and broken fingers and broken bones in the hand and broken wrists, it takes at least 3 weeks, and then you've got to get back from... excuse me. You got to get back from there. But I look at Backe, there's nothing new to report on him, and I'd be surprised if he comes back. I'll be happy if he does, but I'll be very surprised if he's able to come back after missing that important Game 6.
Mm, so you don't think he's going to play at all in the series, or just maybe miss a couple games?
I would say he is able to come back, but I think the pain factor, if he wasn't able to play the other night, because every one of these players wants to play, and we saw last year, and this goes back to Barry Trotz, last year players played hurt. They couldn't give the team 100%, and they stayed in the lineup. And this year, what they've done is they've gotten guys out of the lineup who aren't healthy enough to do what their job is. And if he can't hold his stick, it was obviously a hand injury. Everyone saw the wrap on his wrist and his fingers. So you've got to make sure, because you don't want to totally debilitate this guy. I don't know what the break is. I don't know if it's a break. I don't know if it's just bruising. But I will know today if he comes out here, but I highly doubt that he will. I hope that he does. But if he wasn't good enough to go in Game 6, I can't see him being good enough to go this soon already.
I feel like we need him to win this series.
So when Wilson,
I could be wrong.
They will have Tom Wilson back.
They will, but you know what? You look, they went into that road game, no Burakovsky, and then it was no Wilson, and then it was no Backstrom, and it was no excuses, and that's the difference with this team. They haven't been, you know, looking at the past. There's no social media noise. There's none of that, the dreaded, you know, being the best team during the regular season type of pressure, which is kind of comical, but this team has a different mindset, and people were talking about that, you know, all through the playoffs, but it's legit. You know, it's not just a thing. It is actually legit that they're going in there, and you do want to have your best players on the ice. But I've seen the Pittsburgh Penguins roll all the way to the Stanley Cup, missing Crosby, missing Malkin, not even having Chris Letang for any playoff game last year, and a bunch of others. Hagelin and Hornquist had missed considerable time in the playoffs, and a lot of nights you went out and the Pittsburgh had a different roster. So you know what? You got to bide your time. Players have to step up. We saw a lot of players step up in Pittsburgh the other night. It's about playing a committed team game. It's the logo on the front of the jersey that's going to get them there to the finals if they can get past Tampa. I want Backstrom back in the lineup. I love his two-way game. I hope that he is ready to play in the first game, but time will heal this wound. They've got to make sure that he comes back. If he comes back, he doesn't re-injure whatever is wrong with him.
Hey, Alan, Cakes really made a mention this the other day that when Kuzi scored the game winner, you could see a shot of you and Rob Carlin, and Carlin went nuts, but your celebration was kind of muted.
It was very quick.
What? Well, you know, what happened is Rob took about 5 seconds to react to the goal. I think I'm the only guy in the building that actually saw it go in the net. Mm-hmm. And I started to step up on our stage platform, and I saw that. Because normally I say a lot of things when they score, and I'm just making sure there I am. It's already in. And he doesn't realize it's in. He still does it. And then he sees Kuznetsov celebrating. And I say, get on set. We got to go. Let's go. And normally it's a fist pump, and I might break something. I'm pretty happy usually when my guys get a goal. But on that one, I just felt it. And I felt it all game long. I can't say that I felt that in these, you know, these elimination games in the past where I went in and said, yeah, they got it. But I felt all game. After that chase on goal, gave me a lot more confidence in what they were doing out there, how they stayed committed all game to defense, how Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, they held back on a lot of offensive situations where they could have raced and chased for pucks, but they stayed within the structure, they were patient, and they waited. They were very opportunistic in getting that win, but that's how you have to play when you're playing uber defense like they did the other night. They kept Pittsburgh to 22 shots in an elimination game. We've seen other teams try to do that to the Caps. The Caps are finally getting a little payback. They've learned from some of their lessons in the past of going into these final games and opening up, trying to play too fast, trying to go end-to-end, and I kept saying going into this series, you can't out Pittsburgh, the Penguins. You can't try to play a 3-on-2, a 4-on-1 type of game against them. Limit the odd man rushes, eliminate the breakaways, and you'll beat them.
What is the Alan May series prediction, Caps Bolts?
Well, this is going to be high anxiety, in my opinion, and I think I got the last one dead on. The one before, I actually had the Caps in five, but I think in this one, it's a seven-game series, going to be a lot of overtimes, but I believe the Caps will prevail in this one because they're committed to the team defense. The goaltender is absolutely amazing right now, playing with so much confidence. I don't see that changing. Tampa Bay's not as committed in front of the nets as Pittsburgh has been, as certainly Columbus, and the Caps defense is finding a way to play great as a unit, but the forwards are helping them out like they've never helped them out. At least in my time here, the game is harder to play than it was when I played because it's more X's and O's, and you need to make sure every one of your X's is in the right place at the right time, and they're more committed, and they finally realize, all these players top to bottom, how important it is to be a great defensive team to go far in the National Hockey League playoffs.
Always, man. Love having you on, Alan. Thanks,
Thank
pal.
You, Alan. Thanks, buddy.
Good stuff, Alan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep.
Got it, buddy.
Alan May joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. We'll go back to Kettler coming up at 9:20 with Tariq El-Bashir. Remember, Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies.
Rizzo.
Just a reminder, Nats fans, you can join 106.7 The Fan at the DC Improv for Chalk Talk with our special guest, Sean Doolittle. June 6th, starting at 7 p.m., you can meet the Nats closer and get the inside scoop on the season presented by the Purple Heart Foundation. Details at thefandc.com/events.
You know, I don't want to be too gross, but during that interview with Alan May, if there was a keen observer,
yep,
they might have been able to isolate where I broke wind in the middle of that interview.
Oh, really?
To the point where
can we run it back?
I don't know if you,
I've been looking for it.
I think the mics might have picked it up.
I can't find it.
It was an audible, loud.
You didn't lift your leg or anything.
No, I was just kind of sitting. It was one of those that snuck up on me, and all of a sudden it was like a Mike Ditka. He's like,
I didn't hear it. I did not.
Let's run it back. He's been trying
because I told him right away. I said, dude, I just farted. I think the mic might have picked it up.
I've been going through it, and I can't really hear it.
You can't really hear it? Well, somehow I heard it through the microphones, through my headphones.
Did they get me picking my nose? Because I do that a lot.
Yeah, no, you do that a lot.
It was after your trots question, right?
No. Because somebody else had asked a question, and then he was responding. It was after I was just chilling. And I just...
Chilling like a villain.
One just slipped. Sometimes cakes, they just slip out.
Hey, you mentioned Chalk Talk with the Nationals, Sean Doolittle. We should mention Game Show Wednesday, and we're giving away not one, not two, but three pair of tickets to see the Nationals take on the San Diego Padres May 22nd at Nats Park. We're going to do that. Play a little Junkies Password coming up at 9:45.
Ah, very good.
Unless we have Steve Sands on the show, which, what's going on there?
Oh, yeah, Sands is going to be on the show at 9:40.
Oh, so then I guess we'll have to give away the tickets in a different fashion.
Well, we could do it. I mean, we could squeeze it in, whatever. I mean, Sandy's a huge Caps fan. You know, Steve Sands from the Golf Channel is a huge Washington sports fan.
Mm-hmm. He is?
Oh, yeah. Loves the Nats, loves the Skins, loves the Caps.
He loves the Starboard.
Loves the Wizards, probably not as much as the Caps. Loves the Starboard.
Yeah.
But so he texted me a couple days ago, said, I want to talk about the Caps. He's all juiced for it, so we're going to get him on.
All right, good.
He's down in Sawgrass getting ready for the players.
I'm juiced for Tiger. Do we know what time Tiger's seeing off tomorrow? It should have been announced yesterday.
Is it 2 o'clock?
1:52.
Well,
that works. That'll work. I can watch a couple hours of that.
Yes, you can. Playing with.
Why are you laughing?
Mickey.
It's just. Are you silent, Jonan? It's just funny. Like, all the hype for Tiger, and he's just not very good anymore.
That's a strange opinion.
He's still good. He's not dominant.
Yeah, I mean, he's not what he used to be. Not even close to what he used to be.
He didn't play for 2 years.
Not right now. He played in 2.5 years.
Hey, you guys are chasing a ghost. Have fun.
He's Matt Kuchar.
He's still interesting.
Oh, he wishes he was Matt Kuchar at this point.
Yeah, I'd probably take Kuchar.
Yeah.
I'd probably take Kuchar.
I'm sure, because Kuchar's played and he's consistent.
But he's never won a major, right?
No.
Yeah. And he's probably won a half dozen tournaments.
Right. He's good.
He's good.
Right. I would say Tiger's good.
Tiger is going to win again. Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter what you guys say. It doesn't matter what I say. Eventually, he's going to start winning again. It's just a lock. I think he hit like a 380-yard drive the other day.
That's what I thought about David Duval, too. Wasn't he number one in the world?
Now he's on the set of the Golf Channel.
Well, it doesn't matter if he hits a 380.
No, but the
matters
point
how he scores.
Yeah, but he'll score. He had a bad week of putting. That rarely happens for him.
It's hard to win. I'm not going to predict any wins. It's hard to win.
100% chance he's winning. I'll take all comers.
Bart, was just a bunch of bets in there already.
All right, 100% chance he's winning.
I've heard you say a bad week of putting for Tiger about 50% of his tournaments.
That's not true. A lot of times it's the iron play or the driver or all that.
Will he win a tournament this season?
No.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I'll bet you that right now. Bet you $100 that I'm winning this season.
Ooh, he's already played like 8 or 10.
So he'll probably play another 10.
I'm not going to guarantee
this season, but he's going to win again. I guarantee that.
I hope he does. It's good for golf.
No, he's going to win. He's going to probably win multiple times.
Oh, yeah. Now you're getting crazy.
I'm not getting crazy.
All right,
he's
I'll
got
bet
three
you.
Top 12s already this year, barely playing.
Well, what's top 12?
It shows you how close
I'll
he
bet
is.
You $100.
I think
bucks.
He's got two top fives.
What we do?
Two top
he's got,
fives.
Yeah, he's got a second.
Yeah.
He finished second at Valspar.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll
barely
bet you
showing up, decided a half hour before
I'm
the tournament.
I'm going to bet you $100 he doesn't win multiple times.
I don't care.
What do you do with the Wells Fargo? Nubs.
Quail Hall is a difficult course. Yeah, he had
two. There aren't a lot of the courses difficult. They're professionals.
Here's the thing you guys don't understand. Tiger typically plays at courses that he dominates, and that's what he'll continue to do the next few years, and he'll win again at some of those.
Didn't some no-name shoot 62 on Saturday?
That Wise guy?
Yeah.
Aaron Wise?
Aaron Wise.
He's a good player.
That can always happen.
Those guys are great players.
Listen, bet against them. Bet against them.
He's trying to bet against
them. I don't want to bet against them, but you're making me. Yeah. You're just so sure of yourself.
I'm 100%.
It's hard
convinced.
To win tournaments. It's
he's
hard.
The greatest to ever play.
He was the greatest.
He's still got he's a lot of it.
He's not the player he was. That's what his point
what's
is.
What's a good number? What's
he
a good
has
number?
No idea. He doesn't even watch. He has no idea.
No, all you got to do is watch. Just look at the leaderboards.
I look at the leaderboards and I look down. At
he's
going to
click on page two.
I didn't hear him saying this about like Phil when Phil went like 5 years without winning or whatever. No one was trashing.
Nobody cares
Phil.
About Phil Mickelson because you guys but never Phil, had a Phil week.
No, every, but in other words, no one every wrote week on off the show. Phil. Everyone picks Phil.
And, I know, but Phil didn't take 2.5 years off and had
right,
multiple
but,
surgeries.
Right. He was playing the whole time and wasn't winning.
That's how
and
hard no it is to win.
Right. Phil's not as good as Tiger.
No one said that. He is now.
We'll see.
Oh, please. He won this year already. What are you talking about? He's not.
In the next 5 years.
You're telling me Phil Mickelson's not a better golfer right now today than Tiger Woods?
I would take Tiger now the rest of his career and Phil now the rest of his career. Today.
Let's take
him today.
I'll take
here,
Phil Mickelson
from today.
Average finish, place of finish the rest of the year over Tiger.
No. Here's the bet. You take it or leave it. Tiger Woods today until he breaks or quits or is in jail.
What, earnings or tournament wins? What?
Yes.
Tournament wins.
Between now and the rest of his career and Phil and the rest of his career, I got
right,
Tiger.
You're on. Yep. I got Phil.
How much?
All right, PGA
now,
tournaments,
by the
right?
Way, PGA not, tour, not okay. European or, you know, even though Tiger didn't really do that. Something in Saudi
and
Arabia.
Phil, and Phil's older.
Or Champions Tour.
Yeah, of course he's older.
Phil's, what,
48.
Five, six years older.
Full on PGA Tour. No Champions Tour.
No, big
tour.
Sillies. Legit.
That
not
garbage.
Senior, not senior
right,
events.
What about wraparound events like the Safeway?
Counts.
They all count.
PGA
okay.
Tour. PGA Tour sanctioned events.
Nubs Field.
I'll take Tiger Woods.
Nubs Field.
Between
he won't play
now,
in those.
He doesn't play in those. He plays in tournaments that he dominates.
He might have to play in those if he wants
and
to win.
Look, he's still working out the kinks. The guy barely plays. I got
I'm
Tiger.
I'm giving you a little money here in this because
yeah, I believe me, I got the smart money
because
on this.
Phil is 6 years old. Yeah, six
yeah,
years
I
old.
Know I'm making a good bet.
But Phil is still a great player.
Here's my bet. Tiger doesn't win five tournaments in the next 5 years. That's
I wouldn't
the bet.
Bet that. I wouldn't Ooh, bet that.
That's a good bet.
That's one a year.
He'll be 48 years old.
Yeah, he's
47.
He's going to still win for a while. I have to think about that one, Cakes.
All right.
I like it, though.
You can chew on that.
I like it.
We'll see if we can come to terms.
I'd be stunned if he doesn't. Last full-time year on tour, I think he won five times, which is 2013.
He's not a full-timer anymore. He's a part-timer.
No, he's pretty much full-time again now. He's pretty much back in it. Yep.
See, you make me root against him, and I just get bitter.
Yeah, well, you put yourself in that spot.
No, I don't. You say outrageous things.
Should I pick him as a player? Defend. That's what I need to know.
You just
no!
Like to, you just trash him because, like, he had a bad week.
No, I'm not trashing him at all. You just think it's easy for – great golfers can play great for 3.5 days.
He's different.
They have one
else is
bad
like
stretch.
No one else is like him.
Well, he's not
a lot
the
of people
player.
Like him right
he's
now.
He's not the player you thought he was.
Mm. He'll get there.
He might.
He will.
But right now,
he's close.
You just believe everything Hank Haney tells you. Let me see something here. Results.
When am I going to get my Crocs golf shoes so I don't have to borrow Valdez's golf shoes from Hank Haney? When's that going to happen?
Quit saying you're borrowing them. You're never going to return
by the
them.
Way, this, by the way, hold on real quick. I want to point out, this is what Phil Mickelson has this year. He's got a T3. He's got a T5. He's got a T2. He's got a victory. And he's got a T5.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty good numbers.
At 48 years old.
I agree. And that's why I know Tiger is going to continue to do this. Believe me, every time Phil does something well, that's another strike, or that's another positive for Tiger.
Different bodies. Different bodies.
Yeah, his body is fine. He is crushing the ball. The body is not going to betray him.
It doesn't matter about crushing the ball.
Oh, it's a big factor. It's a big factor.
They all crush the ball.
Mm.
They all try to hit it as far as they can.
It's a huge factor. Tiger has a power game.
I mean, you ask the great players, they say they don't care where the ball goes. They just want to be closer to the green than you.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if they're in the rough.
And Tiger is in the elite in that area. He's in the elite.
Phil's having a great year.
100%. Every time Phil does well, it's a huge positive for Tiger because it shows old farts.
All right, so what's our bet? What's our bet?
I don't know. I got to figure out the
it's
dollar
Phil
value.
Phil versus Tiger, rest of their career.
Yes. From here, from today's date, May 9th, or whatever today is.
Not earnings, not place of finish. It's dubs. Number of dubs.
Wins.
Man, that's hard. All right.
Wins. I got Tiger.
All right, coming up next, as we do
bucks.
Every Wednesday, we'll talk to Mike Rizzo, President GM of the Washington Nationals, as we go in the clubhouse with the Nats GM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.